kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
Nailed it.
On that note, what's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Cole, how are you doing?
I'm fine. I feel better after that sneeze. Whether or not it makes it into the show is questionable. But I do feel better.
That is good to hear. It's just us.
It is. This is weird. What do we talk about?
No Aki, no Jacob, no Tim, no Chris, no Purnell.
Who do I tell the fuck off?
Jacob.
Who like talks to you so that I can pretend that I'm here while I'm actually doing other things in another tab?
I don't know. You got to remember how to like do this show now. Like we have to pay attention to things.
Ew, that's gross.
I know. It smells like poo, but
gross.
So how you doing?
I'm good.
How was your week?
Yeah. No. We got a new president, so like everything's golden now. I don't think I have exhaled quite so relievingly. I don't even know if that's a word, but it is now. I haven't done that in a long time. I was just like, I don't know. I breathe a little better today.
I'm not as anxious. People are like, oh, things don't just change overnight. It's like, no, my anxiety level changed overnight.
Yeah. Like, I mean, realistically, yeah, there's still shit to do. There's still I support, and there's still things that need to happen.
There's a lot that needs to be done, and Biden needs to fix a lot.
But it feels like there's a path to fixing things. And I think that's what people miss, and not to turn us into a political podcast or anything, but I hear a lot of arguments and complaints of like, oh, well, he's not going to fix this or he's not going to fix that. Maybe not. But at least now we have a path to fixing it. Whereas before, we were just on the outside looking in. And it's just a little glimmer of hope that maybe some things we can't fix it all. We're not going to fix it all in 4 years or 8 or even 40. No. But at least there's a little bit of relief that maybe some things might start to get better. Yeah. And after the 4 years that a lot of us have had, we need that.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Let's see if anything gets done about like student loan forgiveness or anything else on these cash payments for relief and whatever else. Mm-hmm. Because that's stuff that could be done immediately.
Mm-hmm. And then there needs to be overhauls to things like immigration policies. And I mean, like Root Beer says in chat, there's still babies in cages. And something has to shake. It can't stay that way.
You know what they need? Some major legislation. SML.
Yeah. Yeah.
SML, baby. SML.
But at least... At least, you know, my position of privilege.
No, I'm not.
It was a good one. I'm not
sorry. I'm not sorry.
You shouldn't be. But, you know, from a position of privilege that we are in, then, you know, you don't want to get comfortable because you do realize there are things that need to change still and we need to continue to fight and we don't need to become, you know, relaxed or lackadaisical in any kind of way. We need to just be like, we can breathe. But now we need to make it easier for other people to breathe.
Yeah. The and fight with that, has just games. Begun.
Right. Games. Now. Now we can go to games.
I think it needed
addressed.
Well, we needed something to talk about. There's not much news this week. So.
No?
No. This could be a quick one.
Oh, shit.
Want a speed run?
Yeah.
You want a speed run?
I want a speed run. Let's go. Stop asking me and just run.
All right, let's do this. Xbox Game Pass. Always good when there's Xbox Game Pass news. Let's start with the bad news. Let's get that shit out of the way. Games are leaving Game Pass at the end of the month. We've got Death Squared leaving, Death's Gambit on PC, Final Fantasy 15 is leaving, which is a bummer. Fishing Sim World Pro Tour, which I know is just tearing your heart apart.
I own it.
Grease on PC, Indivisible, which that's a bummer. Reigns, Game of Thrones on PC, and Seasalt. Oh.
When is Grease leaving?
End of the month.
Shit, I need to go play that.
Chop, chop, get on that Shia.
Yeah, that was on my, I'm going to do it during hiatus, and like, I just phased, I turned into the biggest potato during hiatus and just like sat here. I didn't create art. I didn't work. I didn't do anything. I just sat and stared and it was glorious. But now I have to like, oh shit, I got shit to catch up on.
Yeah. I played, speaking of Game Pass, I played like 2 hours of Dragon Quest total. Yeah. That is the most I've played Dragon Quest to date.
I still need to, I need to play Grease and I need to play Spiritfarer. Somebody told me Spiritfarer is like 30 hours, and that's the point where I'm just like, man.
You want to get involved when it's that long.
I know. It's a time commitment I don't know if I'm going to have. Fuck. I've got art gallery shit coming up this week.
Speaking of time commitments you don't have, games are joining Game Pass.
Ooh.
Yay. And there's some good stuff coming. January 21st. So today we got Control on PC.
Nice.
Desperados 3 on everything.
Okay.
Donut County on everything.
Yeah.
And Android users got The Outer Wild.
Very nice.
Next week on the 26th, we are getting Cyber Shadow on everything.
Okay.
Which we will be talking about that, I believe, next week on the show from Yacht Club Publishing.
Okay.
I'm excited about that one.
Nice.
And then Project Winter.
What is that?
I haven't heard much about it, but it's supposedly hitting Game Pass. It's from Other Ocean. It looks to be some form of party game.
Oh.
I gotta look up more about it.
Like, well, if I was in there like, this sounds like a survival game. And then you're like, it's a party game. I'm like, son of a shit.
I might be wrong. I briefly just glanced at it. I didn't do any research. I told you, we've been lazy. What do you expect from, what the fuck do you expect from us, people?
It's
quality? No. No.
There are better shows out there if you want quality. We just are like, we're phoning it in. Almost literally.
Yeah. I mean, we do what we can, but it's not a lot. And then January 28th, the Medium is hitting Series X and S and PC.
Fuck yeah. Already preloaded, ready to go. Cannot wait. Blue Routine does no wrong in my eyes, so bring it on.
Well, critically, they've been kind of mixed, so I'm hoping the Medium is a thumbs up from them.
Yeah.
But if you're not into the Medium or you don't have a Series X or S, the Yakuza Remastered Collection of 3, 4, and 5.
So many games.
Yeah.
So much
good shit.
Plenty to keep you busy. It'll help you get through the last cold, miserable days of winter.
Did winter even start? Like, we had one snowstorm here, and it's been raining ever since.
Well, we've had a couple snowstorms.
Like, my area, we had, like, one legit major snowstorm. Everything else has just been rain and maybe flurries, but it's been a warm winter for us.
Yeah, we've had snow a couple times. That's one of the downsides to homeschooling the kids now, though, is that they don't get snow days. It's like, nobody gives a fuck. Snow doesn't stop you from getting out of your bed and picking up your laptop, so you have to do it anyway.
Oh, man.
But
that what's next? Sucks.
Yeah, because I'm the one that used to enjoy the snow days, too, because I'm like, bitch, I'm sleeping in, not anymore. Get your fat ass out of bed and go sit at a computer and teach Common Core math to a 7. She's 8. She had a birthday. She's 8 now. Shit. To an 8-year-old.
Ugh. Grow up so fast.
Yeah. Don't make me cry. Next.
Next up, Resident Evil Village is releasing May 7th to the Xbox Series X and S, PS5, and Steam, as well as newly announced versions for Xbox One and PS4.
Oh.
Yeah, so Resident Evil Village will be hitting PS4 and Xbox One. an exclusive demo just hit the PS5. Unfortunately, it's not on Xbox.
Dumbest thing ever.
Hey, I'd rather them see them get an exclusive demo than an exclusive game. Yeah.
Still a dumb concept, but I understand.
Whatever. A demo for all platforms will hit later this spring, and they did announce a collector's edition for the game, which I've been trying to find more information on, but not been able to find anything. I need it.
That's fine. I was about to say, you're already prepared to purchase it, let alone find that one. Need it.
Funny thing, I just sold my Resident Evil 7 collector's edition for $300.
What?
Yeah.
I guess that pays for your village collection, huh?
Yeah. Pays for a couple of things.
Nice.
Mercari, man, it's changed our lives. We have bought so much, can't talk about that. So many games. We've bought so many games with that money from Mercari.
Uh-huh. No. Entertainment, you say. As it were.
Hey, just gotta, no, for real, it's paid for the PC. It helped pay for the PC big time. Paid for the Series X. It paid for the PS5.
Damn.
Mercari's been fucking awesome to me, though.
So. Your Mercari business does better than my actual business.
Yeah, but
I'm depressed.
But the thing is, like, your product, you're making and selling stuff. I'm just, like, getting rid of shit that's on my shelves.
That's twofold then, because you don't have to buy anything else. It's just sitting there collecting dust. It improves in price with the dust bunnies.
Speaking of things that improve in price with dust bunnies, I bought a plasma cutter. A Dead Space replica plasma cutter.
Damn.
Like, okay. A full-size replica. Originally, these things cost $200. I bought it off of one of our original hosts, Tim. I think I bought it for like $50-$60, something ridiculously cheap. It's worth a good grand now.
Damn.
Yeah. So that's listed on Mercari.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
So look up some shit that you have on the shelves. You never know what you have.
I don't see that's the curse of it. I live in a small house, and so I'm always just like, I don't have space for that.
No.
I don't have space for that. The only thing I have of particular value, which I mean, I have my prototype Brano gas sign. That's not going anywhere. And I do have a you ever seen them carnival glass hen-on nests? It's like a whatnot like old ladies have in their kitchens, right? Yeah. And it's literally just like a glass chicken sitting on a nest, and like you could pick the top off and like put candy or whatever inside of it. It's just a bowl. My mom had one. I fucking loved it. And my sister found me one. And it turns out that the one that she got me is like a vintage 1950s super rare color pattern that you can't get anywhere. So like she paid like $20 for this hen on nest, and it's worth like $1,000. And I'm Jesus. Like, oh, I have it. And then I just look at it and I go, eat, because I love it, because it reminds me of my mom. And I don't have the heart to get rid of it. I'm like, it reminds me of my mom, and I can't, even though I know it's worth a lot. I'm like, well, nope, you get to stay right there. I got the original box and everything for it.
Damn.
Yeah, that's one of my few prized possessions.
I don't know if I have anything that is completely prized to me anymore. Like, I sold my Pepsi Rock Band guitar.
Damn.
I sold my copy of Earthbound. I've just gotten into this mindset where I'm getting older. I'd rather enjoy it for a little bit and then pass it on to someone who is going to continue enjoying it instead of just collecting dust.
Yes, yeah. I'm of the frame of mind. I'm like, my allergies are shit enough, and I have a small house, and there's just nowhere for things that are dust collectors.
No.
I don't care how much I love it. I just don't have anywhere to put it.
No. But that's why I want to find out more information on the Resident Evil Village Collector's Edition. Which, again, releasing May 7th.
That's a lot sooner than I was expecting. Yeah,
I know. I thought it would be the fall.
Yeah, same.
But they also announced Resident Evil Reverse, a free multiplayer experience for Xbox One and PS4, which is going to feature 4 to 6 player death matches between your fan favorite characters in fan favorite location. So we'll see what that brings.
Hmm. I don't know how I feel about that. I need to like watch the trailer or something. I missed that.
Gonna be free, so.
Yeah. I mean, hey, at least it's free, but I don't know how I feel about. In my head, Resident Evil and multiplayer don't jive.
Why not?
I don't know. Like, you ever just hear two things and your brain goes, nope. And there's no real good reason for it.
I mean, Resident Evil 5 arguably was much better co-op online.
I never played 5.
Mm.
Yeah.
We should play 5.
I played 1, 2, and 3.
You didn't and play 4?
I didn't play 4 either.
The
no.
fuck is wrong with you?
And I installed 7 when it was on Game Pass. I don't think it is. It's not on Game Pass anymore, is it? Is it still there?
I don't know.
I don't remember. I swear I think I deleted it because it went off of Game Pass and I didn't have time to play it. But I have wanted to play that one for a while. But then at this point, I've seen so many people play it that there's not any jump scares left for me anymore. And I'm just like, uh-huh.
Well, Resident Evil 4 was never really about jump scares. That one was just quality gameplay the entire way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you should play 4.
Hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, more news. We're doing terrible with this speedrun, by the way.
We are. But we're doing better. We're doing better than if there were people here.
Yeah, we're doing better than if Jacob were here. Fucking Jacob.
Fucking Jacob.
Fucking Jacob's furnace blowing. The Twitter account for MLB The Show tweeted out that we'd see news coming for the game in February. That's right. This is news about an announcement for news. That is how fucking bad this week
is. Okay. News about an announcement.
Yeah.
For news.
We'll finally hear something about the game in February. A lot of people speculating this is the earliest that we could see it on Switch and Xbox. So we'll see if it happens this year or not. But we shall see. February.
Okay.
Hey, I think it's big that's going multi-platform. I think that's huge news.
That's definitely great for a lot of people.
Like, that was a legit system seller for PlayStation. There were people who bought consoles for the show.
Yeah. Which is weird to me, but yeah.
Kingdoms of Amalur: Re-Reckoning will be hitting the Switch on March 16th.
Okay.
My anniversary, so if anyone wants to buy me a wedding present. Is it wrong March that I 16th? Forget? Yeah, March 16th.
Huh. That's not too long after mine.
Copycat.
Mine's before yours.
Apparently.
Also, like, by years.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you got me on that. But still, you copied me because I was on the show first.
Oh, okay.
So that's how time works in this universe. Sure. In the SML verse.
Is there what's that time turner thing? Do we have one of those?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. Carry on.
It was announced Puzzle Quest 3 is releasing this year. It is going to be free to play, which immediately killed all my interest.
Wait, what's free to play?
Puzzle Quest 3.
I did not know that was good. Oh, I was so excited when I saw it. Now.
Yeah, it's going to be a free to play game.
Wow. Thanks for pissing on my parade. Because that means it's going to be pay to win.
Probably. But hey, Root Beer brought it up, so I had to address it on the show. Blame Root Beer.
Okay.
For your sadness.
God damn it, Root Beer.
Blame Jacob for your sadness.
Even your army of meme Bernies can't help me now. That's a great emote.
Oh, my Lord. Last bit of news I have is that Valve and 5 publishers were fined $9.5 million for geo-blocking PC game sales on Steam, which violates EU antitrust laws. Geo-blocking is basically forcing users of a country to only purchase games from their region at their price instead of allowing them to check other European countries for cheaper pricing.
Do we have a list of who the other publishers were? I'm really curious about this.
Bandai Namco.
Okay.
Capcom.
Okay.
Focus Home Interactive.
Okay.
Coke Media.
Uh-huh.
and ZeniMax, Bethesda.
Ah.
Yeah. So those were the ones who did it. And I can understand why geo-blocking is a thing, but it's, you know, follow the laws,
I think in a lot of instances it boils down to, like, taxes and shit, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a reasonable thing to do, but also if the law says don't do it, you can't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the news I got. Anything you want to talk about?
No.
Nothing, really?
Nothing. There were a couple of things I thought, oh, Joe will bring that up, and then you didn't, and now I don't remember what they were.
Cool.
Yeah.
You're good at this.
I really need to start making notes throughout the week of news, because you always ask me, and I'm like, I saw shit, and you didn't include it, and now I don't remember. I don't need more jobs, though.
One day we'll be good at this show.
No, we won't. Next.
Next, our reviews. Are you ready?
Mostly.
Is that a yes?
I say that for good reason. First off, No Time just dropped a shit ton of bits.
No Time did just drop a shit ton of bits. 500 biddies. George, take it away.
Dropping bits! All over your fucking face! Wet pancakes!
Wet pancakes indeed, George.
Filling up airspace with wet pancakes.
Goddamn right. Love the wet pancakes. It. Right, George?
Wet pancakes!
Right, Purnell?
Fucking yeah!
I was waiting for Rat Purnell, but I wasn't ready for Rat George, too. Got it. We're here now. We're good.
We have problems.
We're clearly very easily amused.
No Time. Thank you so much for the biddies. It is always appreciated. I love your support. Love you being here. Thank you. You are awesome. But yeah, reviews. You ready to do these?
Yes.
Not that many tonight either.
No. And I mean, let me just go ahead and preface this with most of mine are beat 'em ups, and I'm just like, you walk right and hit X.
Yeah. Well, then so, let's start with a beat 'em up with Shing, developed and published by Mass Creation, released January 21st on Xbox One and Switch for $19.99. Experience the most exciting and immersive beat-em-up combat system ever. Become a kick-ass ninja and slice some demons in style. Cole, tell us about Shing.
So, this is a game where you walk right and press X.
No, you walk right and wiggle the analog sticks.
That's also an option.
Yes.
You can use the face buttons. I did initially... Oh, I'll back up in a second. But I did initially use the face buttons because I'm just used to, like, walk right, press X, right?
Mm.
But I quickly discovered that, yeah, using the thumbsticks is not as... Pressing X a whole lot is hard on my hands. And the analog sticks were easier. So basically, there's a premise. And without getting too deep into it, you have a group of four... ninjas, and they're supposed to watch over the starseed. Starseed gets stolen, shit hits fan, there's all kinds of little gremlin thingies everywhere now, and you get to beat the shit out of them. It's a beat 'em up.
You get walk to right, pick, beat shit up.
You basically just walk right, beat shit up after this point. 2.5D plane, you can, you know, move up and down. It's very much like if you played Shaq Fu, and to be fair. You know, you can move back and forth through the foreground and the background a little bit. You have a little bit of mobility other than just walking around. I love that
Shaq Fu is your, like, baseline comparison.
That's my baseline because it's, like, the one I remember playing most recently.
Most people are like, it's like Final Fight or it's like Streets of Rage.
I haven't played those in so long that I don't remember playing them, right? So I'm just like, I played this within the last 10 years, and it was Shaq Fu. So that's what you get. I'm going to compare everything to Shaq Fu tonight. I remember playing the original, too, for some fucked up reason, but here we are.
God. But anyway, Shing.
You have ninjas. They have different weapon types. I'm just going to go ahead and bust right out of the gate here and say the ninjas, there's in the HUD, there are a ton of different bars. up there's the life bar, and then there's like three other different colored bars. And for the life of me, I never figured out what they were for. I never figured out how to activate any of them. All I knew how to do was button mash. And I'm not disappointed in that. I do wish I had figured out how to use the bars properly. I probably would not have gotten frustrated like I did.
Well, the one is the rage bar that you just click on the analog stick and it does that power attack.
You can... What?
Yeah, you click on the right analog stick while you're attacking. Click on it and it does... Oh my god.
That does lead me to one thing that I want to point out is that the sheer volume of combos in this game is insane. Because not only do you have the ability to, you know, like I said, I started off using the face buttons. I used most of my time with the game with the face buttons because I'm a glutton for punishment.
Well, if you did the face buttons, I don't know how to activate the rage.
Yeah.
It might be the same way you did... Was like a button flashing on the screen of click the right analog stick?
Oh, I did use the triggers for that. I bet that was what it did.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. So, but there's just a sheer ridiculous volume of combos that you can put together. Because not only do you use the face buttons or the analog stick, but like the direction that you are pushing the analog stick affects how you hit as well. So, for example, if I was trying to attack with the daggers, then pressing up would aim while I hit X would aim at the face, while, you know, pressing down would aim at the legs or down at enemies who were on the ground. So you had to take those kind of things into consideration. I was playing on easy. Thank goodness the game does not punish you for playing on easy in any kind of way. You can even still master the levels by playing on easy, which is great. But that just kind of let me button mash a little more freely and not have to be overly concerned. Because as long as I learned to like dodge when it was necessary, I could still manage things. No. I will say, though, that even on the lower difficulties, and I know I say I play everything on easy because I'm a bitch, but I do try to play higher difficulties, at least for one or two levels, to get a feel for it. And even, it was definitely problematic on the higher difficulties, but even on easy, I would say that my number one complaint for Shing is that the time to kill on enemies is just ridiculously long.
Oh yeah, they are just damage sponges.
You can sit and just wail into them for 10 or 15 minutes per scene. I would finish a scene, finally get to move, and before I'd start another fight, I'd pause for a few minutes and just kind of like massage my wrist or take a break. And I play shit that hurts my hands a lot, and I don't think anything of it, and I've learned to cope with it. But if it's to the point where I'm literally like between scenes going, I spent 15 minutes on 5 monsters and I need a break. That's problematic.
Yeah.
Especially when you get to a boss, there are no checkpoints. There is shit for descriptions on how to beat the bosses. Like, you are just kind of stuck trying to take the clues that the characters will throw out there at you. I don't know how long it took me to figure out that on the first boss that he would put the blue ones down and only eat the red orc looking things. And then he would come chasing after you. But I couldn't figure out, like, okay, I know I need to dodge him after he does that, but I couldn't figure out what I needed to do to actually kill him. And I'm just sitting there staring at it going, for the love of all that fucks, tell me how to damage this enemy. That's all I wanted in life. My hands were hurting, I was cranky, and I could see that health bar, and I knew it was going to take me 3 damn hours to beat it once I figured out what damaged it. And I was just like, I just want a something, anything, to be like, hey, bitch, press this button.
Something to flash or like...
Just nothing
happened. Some kind of indication.
And so the only way I figured it out was that I got annoyed and killed one of the ads. And it was one of the little blue orcs, and they dropped the blue balls, and basically, like, I hit it with the ranged attack that you get after that. And then I saw the health bar go down, and I was like, for the love of it. That's all it needed to tell me was kill the blue guys and I could kill him. I was so exhausted just trying to beat the first boss. And then I continued on and I was like, surely like that was just a skill check and it's going to get somewhat better as we go on, right? No, they're all that problematic. They're all nightmares. And even when new mechanics are introduced, there's no explanation of how to use them. I eventually at one point collected bombs and I remember my character just running around with like 17 yellow orbs circling around her. And I'm like, I have no idea what to do with that. And then I accidentally hit a button because I was button mashing and a bomb dropped. And I was like, what did I push? And then I just stood there after I killed all the enemies in the middle by myself, like pushing the buttons to see what dropped the bomb so I could learn it. Just tell me how to drop a bomb, okay? I can appreciate, you know, they want you to figure it out and stuff. That would be fine on higher difficulties too. I'd be like, more power to you. But on easier difficulties, at least cut down the time to kill a little bit and give us a little more direction on how to actually get through things. Cut down the time to kill a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
a lot.
overall, $20 on it. What do you think?
I do think that the content is there. I think the gameplay is there. I really liked the digital illustrative art. The 3D art was a little more iffy. it's not the worst I've ever seen, but it ain't the best either. The character models just feel a little weird looking. But beyond that, I think that it justifies the price tag. So I'm cool giving it a buy it.
Cool.
Yeah, just please maybe consider chopping like half of those health bars. That'd be great.
Yeah. All right. Well, next game to talk about is Terratopia, developed by Ravagon, published by East Asia Soft, released January 20th on Xbox One, PS4, and PC for $14.99. The Switch version will be coming at a later date. Join Tucho in his quest to rescue his friends and liberate the colorfully grotesque lands of Terratopia. Traverse 13 unique zones packed with enemies bent on overtaking your homeland, but fear not. The power of friendship arms you with fellow Terratopians and a diverse set of skills to face a family of red invaders. Cole, tell us about Terratopia.
What a weird-ass game.
Yes. Yes, it is.
I could never quite pick up if it was like meant to be a family-friendly game. Or if it was meant to be for adults, but just look cutesy. The whole thing is just odd.
Yeah, the first time I saw the trailer for it, I'm like, oh, this looks cute. This looks enjoyable. And then I saw an M rating. I'm like, what the fuck? What is M rated in this?
You can turn the gore off, but lo, for there is gore. Do not be put off by the rainbow color palette. It's grimy. When you sit and punch the red enemies until they just burst into blood and eyeballs, your currency in the game is eyeballs. The bigger a monster, the more eyeballs it has and the more value it is to go after it and kill it. And then you then feed those eyeballs to tentacles to unlock paths to continue exploring. So this is actually a 3D game, a 3D beat 'em up, not a 2D this time. 3D beat 'em up, but it has fixed cameras. So I don't know, that doesn't make it 2.5, no?
No, it's still 3D, I would say.
It feels 3D. There's some weird platforming that happens in it. Sometimes you need to jump, double jump, dash. It gets a little unruly with what it requests out of you. The fixed cameras, when you're in those moments where you've got to make some of those wonky ass jumps, that's a bitch. And it's not my most favorite thing ever. I could definitely do with a free reign camera at that point. Oh, actually, a lot of times I've could have done with a free range camera, because there are times where the enemies will be like behind a cactus or behind a wall, and none of those walls like fade away or give you any kind of transparency, so you can see what's going on.
Yeah.
As soon as I unlocked the grass character who can shoot cactus pricks, I went for them because then I didn't have to get so close and didn't get trapped in those scenarios where like I was running up to somebody and then the half the screen was obstructed or anything.
Yeah.
So there are three different character types that you can unlock. And then even in addition to unlocking the different character types, when you run into new enemies or you kill new bosses, you can collect tentacles as a currency that you can then use at the costume shop. And then the different costumes give you perks like additional experience earned or increased damage and things like that.
No.
So it kind of plays in a way, it kind of plays like a Metroidvania because you're constantly going back to the older areas to re-explore. Because even after you kill a boss, it'll spawn a new chest in the old areas. And it definitely keeps you going back. However, I will say the boss fights really had me pining for a checkpoint system as opposed to having to go and restart. Even though you can restart in the area of the map that you were in, you still lose any progress that was between that checkpoint at the beginning of that and where the monster was, the final boss. So you'll have to fight all those enemies all over again, which on one hand is like, hey, you've got more eyeballs now and you can explore and you can build up your minion army, which are just little creatures you can spawn that can do different things. Like the engineers can hop on the turrets and help mow things down. Which is all well and good. It's nice to be able to build that army back up before you go to a boss, but it's also just kind of a pain in the ass to just not respawn the way you were before you started the boss fight. Right.
Yeah, and something I learned, by the way, if you have a bunch of minions, save them until the boss fight.
Yeah.
Don't spawn them and then go to the boss fight because they will go away.
They die very quickly. Now you can teleport and you can bring them back to you, but they lose health when they teleport and they lose health just by walking around. They don't last forever.
Yeah.
So you have to be really careful with how you're spawning your minions. And it got to a point where I was constantly just keeping my bag full of minions. But whenever I saw a new one I could pick up, I would spawn whatever one it was to just that way be able to pick up the new one. That way none of them were going to waste, and I constantly had a little bit of help. No. But I had enough that when I got to the boss, I could just unleash the horde and be like, good luck, little motherfuckers. And that was the only way you could beat some of those bosses. They were crazy hard. That said, I think it's all a really creative game. I really like the look of it. I like that even though it's kind of cutesy, they're like, hey, you want some exploding monsters with some gore and eyeballs? And you're like, yeah, I do. Then they're like, here you go.
Do it.
Yeah, I think it played well. Most things that I had to complain about it were quality of life. If you fall off of a platform, I kind of wish it would just spawn you back at the start of that platform.
Yeah, instead of like, goodbye and back to the fucking level select. That annoyed the hell out of me.
Yeah. Like, and it's a quality of life thing, but man, I really wish that if I just fell like a dumbass, it would give me a little bit of leeway for it.
Respawn and take some health or something.
Yeah. There's better ways to handle that than to, because you could have a full health bar and then just trip off of the edge or, you know, walk not
the
dash.
Wrong way trying to pick up a fucking rolling eyeball.
Yeah, because you got to chase them motherfuckers. Also, the eyeballs could stay a little longer. That'd be great. They blink out too fast. But again, it's all quality of life stuff. It's not anything game breaking. Yeah. You can play it as it is.
Well, $15, your verdict?
Yeah, I'm going to roll with a buy it on this one too. I surprisingly enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would. I thought I was just going to like kind of run through it and be like, yep, smash things, got it. But no, I kept going back and be like, I think I'll play an area or two before I go to bed tonight. And I had a good time. Yeah.
Awesome. Next game is Jet Cave Adventure, developed and published by 7Levels, released January 15th on Xbox One for $14.99. Jetpack through the prehistoric world in the Stone Fiction adventure platformer. Enjoy challenging boss fights, flying over pitfalls, smashing through walls, knocking out enemies, and manipulating objects as you halt the alien threat once and for all. Cole, tell us about Jet Cave Adventure.
I had said I was just gonna like immediately nope out if I saw something that said it was hard, because I'm not in the mood to play hard games lately. I've clearly missed that this one touted itself as having challenging boss fights, or I would have noped the fuck out. So, surprise, walk right, hit X. You play as a caveman named Cave, but with a K, you know, as you are wont to do. And basically shit has happened and Cave gets exiled from his tribe and now somehow runs into like an alien robot thing and he gets a jetpack. It's kind of weird. And I'm not good at explaining that kind of shit anyway, but it's weird. End of the day, you're running right. You're pressing X to smash things with your club. Sometimes if you've got rocks, you can press Y to hit things with your slingshot. And then the rest of the time, you're pressing A a whole lot to do special jetpack jumps. Caveman with a jetpack. It is. Although there is one level where like you're in a hang glider and you're trying to... I hate anything that makes me fly. That needs to fuck off. That level was trash. Sorry to whoever's baby that one was, but it was a bad level. I will never get the part time on that one. The levels are broke down literally a one by one. 1-1, 1-2, 1-3. As you beat one, you go on to the next one. You can backtrack and replay them. Your goal would be to try to get as many of the seed looking thingies that they use for currency, which you can use to upgrade your club. I wish that there was a little more explanation that you could do that. I was way up in the levels before I realized I could upgrade my shit. And it would have been a lot easier if I had known. But like by the time I knew I had like 4,000 credits I could buy with, and I was like, well, just let me max out everything at this point. I could have. I was playing the game on self-imposed hard mode because I wasn't the one smart enough to realize that down in the corner was a shop icon.
Proud of you.
Because it doesn't. It doesn't look like a shop. Right?
Proud
like, I
you.
Get the caveman aesthetic, but like, you could have done like a cave painting variant that looked like a store. And instead, it's just like some kind of little weird zigzag on a rock. And it never dawned on me. It was a shop. And I was, by the time I figured it out, I was just like, well, I got all the upgrades now. This is easy. The earlier boss fights in the game, not too challenging. There are some later ones, though, particularly the one with the mammoth, where it uses that mechanic of you fly up the wall, the mammoth runs at you, hits the wall, knocks itself out, and then you whack it on the ass kind of gameplay that you see a lot. That was all fine and dandy, but the second phase of that, the mammoth, for whatever reason, would run at the wall and then not get knocked out. And like it would hit the wall and then it would just turn around and charge at me again. I couldn't do it forever. It was just dumb luck if it worked or not that it would let me actually hit the mammoth. I wanted to cry. I was like, I have just rolled through this game like it was nothing. And then I hit this boss and this is going to be the death of me. It was frustrating. They might want to check that boss. I don't think he's working properly. But other than that, the game was a good time. It's one of those that you can just run through a level really quickly if you want to, or you can take your time at it and really explore and find all the little nitty gritty secrets.
Which is what I would do, obviously.
You know, the first couple levels, I was like, and just rolling through it. But then I found myself like catching on to what the secrets were. And seeking them out. And now
I've got... Shiny object syndrome, that's me.
Yeah, shiny object syndrome kicked in, and I had to just, like, start going back and going, oh, well, I guess I gotta go back and try to get the time on that one now that I have all the shinies. But, yeah.
All right, well, $15 on Jet Cave Adventure, what do you say?
Man, that mammoth boss really did a number on me, and I'd like to be like, yeah, you can buy this one, too. It's pretty solid. But it does have some quirks and that the boss did not work like it was supposed to. I'm going to roll with a recommended try it on this one.
Ken, if they fix it, mammoth boss, it's a buy it.
Or if they at least tell me what the fuck I was doing wrong. You know, if somebody was like, hey, I'm going to buy that, I wouldn't be like, no, don't do that. I wouldn't do that. But, you know, if you're on the fence about it, yeah, wait and see if they do anything because of that damn mammoth.
Doc Havoc tried because the mammoth just had to ruin it for everyone.
It did, because everything else was like, yeah, this is tight. This is it. And then that mammoth just had me stuck for like 3 hours and I wanted to murder everybody.
Good stuff. All right. Yeah. Well, we've been talking a lot about running to the right and hitting buttons. How about a game where you literally just run to the right?
I really did have a week where I just ran to the right and hit X a lot, didn't I?
Yeah. Yeah, well, next game to talk about is Loot Hero DX, developed by Viragd P, published by Rattlake Games, released January 15th on Xbox One and PS4, 21st on the Switch for $4.99. A legendary dragon is haunting the lands, towns are set ablaze, and dark magic power resurrects the evil creatures of the world. A hero is needed to travel to the corners of the lands and slay the beast to restore peace. Are you up to this adventure? Cole, what kind of crazy adventure and intricate, in-depth game is this?
You run to the right. You don't even have to hold X. You just run to the right.
The game does
all the rest for you.
And you can go to the left.
And you definitely should, because yes, there will come a point where you hit like a power wall. Because as you run to the right, there will be a slew of enemies, and then there will be a shop. And then there will be another slew of enemies and a shop. And as you get to each shop, you ideally want to be able to upgrade. I did hit a point somewhere around the second or third chapter where I had not upgraded enough, and I was getting my head kicked in, and it was unfortunate.
This is a game about grinding and replaying.
Yeah, it was really just, it was no big deal though, because you just go left or right, left or right. You can keep running left, right, left, right, left, right, until your finger falls off if you want to. Mm-hmm. Rack up enough points, go buy you some upgrades, and then continue on to the right. It was really easy, but it's also one of those where it's like, I don't mind it because I just wanted to relax and do something mindless. Mm-hmm. And it let me do that. And I'm 100% on board for just like, hey, it's 4 a.m. I have insomnia. Let me run to the right. And don't make me think about it.
This is one of those games where I bought it on Xbox. You are reviewing it, and Jacob was supposed to review it, but he's not here this week because he's punk bitch, punk ass, punk. But I bought it on Xbox, and I loved it, and I ended up buying it on PlayStation as well, just so I could get the platinum over there. Because this is, no lie, a 20-minute completion?
Yeah, maybe.
If that.
And that's if you have to go back and grind. Because you can avoid going back and grinding and getting stuck if, like, you actually do the effort of playing and, like, dodging attacks. I was just, like, hammering it on pressing right and just letting whatever happened happen. And after I died a couple times, I was like, oh yeah, I need to be a little more careful. And then I was like, never mind, no, I don't. I'll just go back and kill some more, get more coins, buy more upgrades, and go.
That's all I did.
It's such a simple game. You can two-way it if you want to and be more careful, but you don't have to be, and I like that about it.
It's just a fun, mindless $5 easy completion.
Yeah.
So what do you say?
Fuck it, why not?
I'm giving it a buy it. I'm going up above. Yeah, I say buy it. It's worth $5. It's mindless. It's cute. It's fun. It's not going to keep your attention forever, but yeah. I've gone back to it, and I've just continually ran to the right just to see how much further I could get. It's just a fun palate cleanser game.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that at all. That. Yeah. A lot of times, I wish there were, like, look, everybody can have their rants about GamerScore or whatever, but I don't mind having that game where I've spent, you know, 8 hours grinding at Call of Duty with my friends trying to get diamond camos, and then I just won an hour or so of doing something simple and mindless, and here you go. That's it right there.
Love it. I loved it, so.
Yeah.
Cool stuff. Final game to talk about tonight is called Marble Duel, developed and published by HeroCraft, released January 20th on Xbox One for $9.99. Magic duels are the way to solve any dispute in a kingdom conquered by the cruel witch and her minions. Every monster you encounter will challenge you, but the power of spells will help you destroy the enemy. Nicole, tell us about Marble Duel.
You do not run to the right.
No, or there is no running to the right in this one. There's moving to the right.
There is, and moving to the left, which is an important distinction we need to have. But basically, this is just like Sparkle, but if it were you versus another player. So if another player was just coming in and sabotaging your attempt to set up a really cool combo in Sparkle, then there you go. That's Marble Duel.
Yeah, it's literally in the name. Marble Game Duel.
Yeah.
It's all right there.
There's a story mode. There's a multiplayer mode. I didn't want to have to send my kids to live at the fire station, so I played it by myself. which has you playing out a story quest where you play as a girl named Evie, and she has magic powers. Nobody cares. Nobody's playing a game like this for the story. You're playing it because you want to get those really cool ass long ball combos and be like, yeah, look at how many points I took away or whatever. So the different balls, the colors have different powers. You can, purple, for example, gives you an attack boost. Red is attack. Blue gives you shield. Yellow lets you reflect attacks that come at you back at your enemies. Green is health. Black actually damages you. And then white just kind of doesn't do shit. However, that doesn't mean white's useless because, again, you can use it to like rack up bigger ball combos. And the more combos you get, the more balls you get to have. Because you start every turn with just two shots. And you got to make them count. But you also got to be careful about the kind of shots that you set up. Because the fucking enemy, the computer cheats. It's a cheating, dirty bastard. And it does not matter what balls it looks like it has when you are planning your shot. I guarantee you that when it becomes the AI's turn, it will magically have whatever balls it needs.
Yep.
And it's a cheating, dirty bastard. I am maybe halfway through the game if I'm optimistic. I'm on like level 70 some shit. 73 or 4 or something like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of levels to the game. It's a big game.
And it's so goddamn hard. I don't know if I'll ever get past this. I'm just like, this is where I'm at. This is my life. And I just sit and cry. I beat one level and then I turn it off for a day at this point because I just have to like reset my brain. Any more than trying to beat one level a day is just going to, I'm going to damage my new controller. Oh, we can't have that shit. I do love these kind of games. I beat Sparkle 2 on Nightmare Mode, and that's normally regarded as like one of the hardest of these match marble ball games that you've got out there. And so I'm like, yeah, I'm good at this. Toot toot. I'm good at this. This game just shits all over me, though. that AI does not give a fuck. It definitely, I would give anything for an easy difficulty, is what I'm trying to say. It gets worse the more I play it too, because it's more like the more annoyed I am and the more I'm playing, the more the AI is a cheating bitch.
Puzzle Quest all over again, you cheating bastards.
I have never been so annoyed by AI constantly just having a leg up. And when so much of what you can do is dependent on RNG, when the AI is just like, what's RNG though? You know, it's hard. I really do enjoy the game. I think it's really creative, a creative take on this genre. There's a lot of times where I play games and I'm like, well, it doesn't shake up a genre or anything, right?
No.
But this is actually one that does. It's just that AI needs nerfed. Yeah. Too OP, please fix. But other than that, I had a really good time with it. I think it's solid for what it's trying to do. There was a lot of variety and creativity there, and it doesn't ever feel like it's like a ripoff of other games in the genre. It changes things up enough that you're like, yeah, this is new and this is cool.
Well, it's just $10. Bucks.
$10 I'm gonna roll with a buy it, but man, that AI.
All right. Well, that's
at least At least in Marble Duel, the AI feels like it's just cheating, whereas it doesn't feel like it's broken like it was with that damn mammoth.
No.
But, you know. Yeah, we did it. We got through everything. We're done.
Just about an hour. Just around there. I'm not sure what the final total is going to be after editing, but I'm going to throw on a really quick song just to keep it as short as possible. So do you have any final words to end it?
No, fuck y'all. See you next week.
Peace.